Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome to Rock That Relationship. This season, we're talking all about friendships. And today's episode is about healthy and balanced friendships. We've talked a little bit about this so far this season, but we're going to really get into it today with looking at ideas of reciprocity, looking at ideas of consistency, and what does it sort of mean to show up in a friendship and have friends show up for you. So how do you feel about our topic today?
Great. And did you know we're wearing the same color shirt?
We are. Jacket.
Well, we both have jackets on.
Yeah. Jackets, even though it's going to be like over 100 degrees today.
I know.
But
I just had the need to put on a red. I was like, I need to put this red jacket on.
That's funny. I needed to put the red jacket on like 2 seconds before we started this. I picked out my red.
So did I.
See, look at that.
I was an English muffin in my mouth and I'm like, oh, I better put this red jacket on.
That's weird.
Now.
Okay.
I know.
Well, there you go. That's if you're interested in Tracy's and my odd connection, go back to this, to the past life relationships series where we talk all about how we kind of have this connection.
Past life stuff.
Exactly.
And ours got even crazier, but one day we'll have to revisit that.
Exactly. All right. So we are talking about reciprocity today.
Okay. I was like, I don't even remember what we're talking about.
I know, because we were still talking about the red jackets. But so reciprocity, kind of a big word, but it basically means that you both give and take around the same kind of, you know, levels. Even it could be different at one point, right? Like if someone's going through something, they might need to take more than give. And someone else might have the abundance or the ability to give more than take. But then it usually shifts at some point, right? Where you can both sort of be there for each other. But if not, then you have these like super unbalanced friendships where one person is giving and the other person is taking. So when you think of reciprocity, how important is that to you in your friendships? Because for some people it isn't. They're just like, you know what? I'm a giver. And if other people want to, you know, kind of be it, not a taker, but if other people aren't as much of a giver, that's okay to me. And then some people, like me, are very into balance. So what's your take on this?
I'm probably in the first group. Like, I don't really care unless it's usury. Like, I feel like I'm being used or not appreciated, or that has happened in the past and I don't like it. I don't require reciprocity, but I also require, I don't want people to misuse my, you know, time or kindness or whatever, or givingness. And I also don't like being dissed, you know, and I don't like being disrespected. Like, and I'm very particular about certain things. And I do tell people that, like, I don't like sarcasm. It does not work for me. And so I've been telling the 13-year-old that it's not necessarily working. He knows I don't like it.
You told me that at the very first part, like I met you right away. You're like, I don't like to be made fun of. I don't like to be joked about. I don't like sarcasm. I don't like any of that. So, you know, and I don't like to be mocked. So don't.
I know. So it's funny because I do laugh about a lot of things and I will with other people, but only if I don't, like, I have to be part of it.
Okay. Yeah, not at
your expense. Because I have had it where people do it, at my expense, and I really don't like it. And then I don't like that the person I'm with, or, you know, whether it be a friend or a relationship, like, participates in that. It's something about it I just cannot stand. And sarcasm, I mean, I'm not always serious, you know, but, like, there's something about sarcasm when it's, to me, it seems mean.
Yep.
Some people don't think that, but.
No, some people think that that's just kind of who they are.
Like people ribbing you or poking at you. I don't like that. I do not like that.
I do not like that either at all. That's actually one thing that we share. We're really good about not doing that to each other.
Just
trying to do it as best we can.
I mean, sometimes we say things that I'm sure annoy each other, but like it's the poking. It's like that continued. And I've found that with men a lot. It's like, you know, that's their way. So like that people do that to me at pickleball. And I did have to tell myself 2 nights ago, okay, he's just trying to be friendly. This is his way of being friendly.
Yeah.
But it really annoyed me. And I was playing and he was just continuing to like make fun of me. And I was like, don't let this affect your play. Do not let it bother you. You know what I mean? And I could turn around. This is what I used to do on the police department. And then I would snap at people or yell at people or put them in their place. And they'd be like, Tracy, why are you such a bitch? And I'm like, because if I'm not, like,
People keep
you're
doing
either
that.
hitting on me or you're making fun of me or you're doing whatever. And I said, every time I'm like, try not, then that happens. So I did not snap at this guy, but I did have to talk myself out of getting riled up by what he was saying.
Well, yeah, and that's
Because people
hard.
will like hang over the fence and make comments, continual comments.
I've
It's
never
their like
liked
way of
that.
rousing you. You know what I mean?
I know. I don't like being razzed. I don't like being poked. I don't like being
Yeah.
ribbed. I mean, you know the story of, where this comes from for me, right? Remember my 16th birthday story?
Oh, your dad and the clown.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a
And the
birthday party
clown
and
followed you. Oh.
my dad thought it'd be really fun to hire a clown for my 16th
Oh,
birthday party. And he
16.
encouraged me to invite all the popular kids to my party. So I'm trying to sort of make this like impression. And this clown shows up and the
Wow.
clown followed me around the entire party. And like he would mock everything I would do. I would eat a tortilla chip and then he would eat a tortilla chip and I would
Oh,
scratch my
I would
head
want
and
to
he would
kill
scratch
him.
my head. He would
Yeah.
scratch his own head. And I was like, oh my God. And all the kids were laughing. They thought it was really funny, but they were laughing kind of at
At your
me.
expense. Yeah, it's at your
And at
expense.
that point, I was like, absolutely not. I don't want this. And I don't like to be poked at, made fun of. I don't like to be mocked.
Did you ever talk to your father about why he thought that would be funny?
No, you know what? I never did. I don't know why he thought that'd be fun. I was 16. It wasn't
Some
like I was
guy,
five
that's
and he
what
was
I'm
making
saying.
balloon
Guys like
animals.
that. I know, but
I
men think
know.
that's funny. It's like how they connect with people. Not all men, of course, I'm generalizing here, but that like that razzing people. I'm telling you, I experience it so much at pickleball and like it drives me insane. And I do think it's their form of that like makes that could make me murderous, you know?
Oh my
And
gosh, yeah.
my dad was did not like clowns, so thank God I didn't have to
Oh my gosh.
experience
Well, my
that.
dad didn't even come to my birthday party, so he didn't even get to watch the clown do
What?
this. No, this was just something he thought would be funny to have at my birthday party.
What?
So this clown was there for like 3 hours. I was like, at least blow up a balloon animal, do something
My
useful.
God.
It was
Well, we
three
can't
hours of
even
being.
have your dad on to discuss it. I'd like to know what
I know.
the
Well,
thought process was behind that.
I know. Well, that was something I never asked him. I had to pick my battles of what we
Well, who had the party? Your mom?
No, both my parents. They had recently gotten divorced. This was a crazy night. They recently had gotten divorced and they decided to co-host this party, but not really host it. So they got a conference room at, I think it was the Sheraton Hotel
For your 16th birthday party.
told me it was, yeah, told me to invite
This is the root
everybody
of why you are the way you are
and invite
biography.
everybody that I know. And so I invited everybody that I knew to this party. And so my mom and dad, in order to kind of chaperone and tell people that they had an adult there, they did not like each other at all, but they decided to meet up in the hotel restaurant and go to dinner while the party was happening. And so they went, and then that night, as we were leaving the restaurant, my mom slipped and fell and broke her wrist. So the Sheraton freaked out, and they started trying to figure out how to get out of like some kind of a lawsuit. And I don't know this is going on because I'm being stalked by a clown in the conference room down the hall.
Wow.
It was a weird night. Anyways, we're talking about reciprocity, but I think that we can tie this in because
But
reciprocity
see,
is treating each other how you want to be treated too, right? So like, I don't think
right.
it's very reciprocal if I have a friend who I'm respectful to and I don't make fun of, who turns around and makes fun of me all the time. And maybe they're okay with being made fun of, but I'm certainly not. So being a reciprocal
Right.
friend means treating me the way I want to be treated. And I don't want clowns and I don't want to be made fun of. I do like
Well,
being
it's
treated.
listening. It's listening to what the person wants. So if they say, like, hey, I love it too. Some people want to go to a roast of themselves. Like you see
I
the ads on
know.
Netflix. I'm like, what? If I never go somewhere where people sat and made said mean things about me,
It's
I could
horrible.
not handle
I
it.
mean,
I
I don't even
know.
want to be in my own performance evaluations
I
at
know.
work. Why in the world do
I
I want to
know.
like go up on stage and have someone make fun of me in public? No,
And they're
nothing.
mean. They're usually mean.
Right,
They say
exactly.
mean things. I couldn't
Well,
handle it.
and so I don't want to be around people who do that. I mean, an occasional joke or something I can put up with, but if it's just a constant part of their personality, it's really difficult. It
Yeah.
hurts. It reminds me of
Yeah.
clowns, and I'm not a happy person with that. So,
See, that clown story could be a whole book. That's your shadow work right there.
right, being stalked by a clown.
Yeah.
I
That would
know.
make a great title.
I know.
Being stalked by a clown. And I mean, John Wayne Gacy did kill. You're lucky it was just a hapless clown and not a serial killer. But I did watch that movie Mother's Day this weekend, which it came out in 2016, but for some reason it's like trending on Netflix right now. It's like number three. It's so good. Julia Roberts and that girl who's the daughter of Goldie Hawn and Russell, whatever
Kate
his
Hudson.
Name is. Yeah, I love her. And it's a really funny movie, but at one point, and Jennifer Aniston's in it. I love her. And she's in her kitchen and a clown comes in and talks to her because she had a clown for her kid's birthday.
Oh my God.
And then it was kind of like a deep conversation, but the guy was dressed as a clown the whole time. And then she's like, did anybody even hear that conversation I just had with a clown? And she's like, I'm lucky I didn't get killed.
Yeah.
You know, because she was alone in her kitchen with a clown. But like, how scary? Clowns are actually very scary.
They are very scary.
They are.
Well, and the irony was that
when I was
in college, I was so broke and there was nothing to do. And they were having a free clown training in our student union and you could be a birthday party clown.
And
so
you did it?
I dragged a friend of mine to it. I spent 8 hours learning about how to be a birthday party clown. And at the end of the day, our graduation ceremony, they gave us our own red noses.
No way.
Yes, they did. But you know what they didn't do is they did not teach us how to do balloon animals. But I, you know, looking back, maybe I was drawn to it to sort of, you know, immersion therapy to like, you know, not be so disenchanted with clowns. I still am. It didn't help. And I never worked a birthday party.
That's a good thing to learn, right? And also the clown should have some, and I bet they don't. Most of them probably are not skilled enough to have like actual understanding of what they're doing to other people. Or maybe they're sadists and they enjoy it.
Maybe.
I'm not going to be friends with a clown. Probably.
No, I'm not. I don't have any clown friends. Even though I think somewhere I might be a certified
maybe
clown.
Maybe we should
I'm
start.
Not sure.
Oh, we're not going to do a business together. We could have a business that's gentle clowns for rent.
Gentle clowns.
Changing the tagline, changing how people view clowns.
Right.
Making clowns safe again for birthday parties. Let us be a clowns. With actual emotional intelligence, making clowns safe again.
I like that.
That'd be a good one. That'd
that
be a
would
good
be
business.
Good, right?
Yeah, we wouldn't harass anybody. We would just be friendly.
Exactly.
I can't imagine and it was a man clown.
It was a man clown.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And you know, my dad probably found him off of like, you know, this is pre-internet. So it was some version of like a want ad or something.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. Anyways, okay, so now that we know how we feel about clowns, let's talk about friendship. Anyways, a good friend does not dress up like a clown and make fun of me. So that's my rule.
I'll note that. I'm putting that in my notes. Okay. Don't do that to Corey.
Don't dress up like a clown. Okay, so you talked about reciprocity. You said don't make fun of you, but you also said don't kind of disrespect you. Are there other forms of disrespect that you think are like not okay? Like,
that's interesting. Like, I mean,
you said flaking out. Didn't you say
sarcasm.
Flaking or,
no, I don't mind when people, in fact, it's weird cause I am an extrovert, but I do like it when people cancel plans. Cause again, it's like, you know, you see those memes online of introverts and they're like, yes, thank God the person canceled and they can stay home in their pajamas. I don't stay home in pajamas, but I am really happy when people cancel things. And I know your current partner does not like that. So I never, ever cancel on her. I'm very cognizant of that. And you don't like it either. And I don't show up late. I mean, I did ask to move this 15 minutes today so I could get my English muffin in. But like, I'm very cognizant of your time, your partner's time, you know, like,
because
I know she doesn't like when people cancel.
No.
It really bugs her.
And,
so,
you know, I don't like it. That's why she and I get along so well, as we like hell or high water. We are there for each other.
Yeah, me, no. I love it. Cancel. I'm like, yes! I'm free to go do what I want. I don't know why.
But that's the thing,
like, you know?
But that's the thing, like, for me is, like, I'm not a canceller unless something major happens.
Right.
But I do get annoyed when people cancel a lot. I feel like it's unreciprocal. It's like, hey, listen, I cleared my plans. I did all these things. I made it. I figured out how to get here. And, you know, and it's fine if someone cancels every once in a while or whatever. Or if you have to move this meeting 15 minutes, I don't care about those kind of things. But it's the people who perpetually cancel. I'm like, well, then don't make plans if you think that you might cancel.
I've had those people. I just stop. asking, reaching out, and you've had people reach out to you, and then you've accepted, and then they don't, they can't, they just don't follow up or don't. I mean, so you've stopped accepting stuff. I know that, like, you stopped, you would then say no, just no, because you got to the point where you were being, you were expecting that you would hang out and then nothing would happen.
Yep.
Or something was asked for, like, you know, oh, can I borrow this or have that? And so, but then no hanging out. That's rude. Like, you know, it's interesting because I have a relationship with my neighbors. Like yesterday, I needed to go pick up a car because two of our cars are having issues. And I asked my neighbor to drive me. It's like 20 minutes there and 20 minutes back. And she did. And it was nice because we hadn't like just sat and hung out for a while. And it was funny because then when we were driving back, we were talking on the phone because we were in two different cars. And, but I don't, we don't go out to dinner. We don't do those kind of things. We don't do, you know, but like if she needs something, I let her dog out. She needs a, you know, rake or I need her shovel. So that's really nice. Like, I really like that. Like, I have neighbors now down the street who I watch their cats and they're going to watch the dogs, you know.
Right.
When we go out of town. And I love all of that. But if, like, if the person was like, oh, you can watch my cat 12,000 times, but I'm not never going to watch your dogs, then I'd have more of an issue. But that's the thing. It's like, I think when I say disrespect, it's more like not listening. Like if I say, like, I don't like sarcasm and then continuing to do that or, time doesn't matter to me. I do see if somebody cancels plans and I think, oh, thank God I just got some free time back. You know, I'm really a big one for free time, but I'm different than you in that I'm a binger of shows. Like I'll have the shows on in the background while I'm doing stuff at home. And it seems I do an enormous amount of dishes. So, I'm always like doing dishes or laundry. So I like to have my shows on, you know, I don't know what else.
So why do you make why do you make plans with people and then you're excited when they cancel? Why not just not make plans?
Well, because if the plans work out and then we go do something, then great. And it's a fun time. But if they cancel, great. I just got free time. It's a win-win. It's a win if it go if it works out. It's a win if it doesn't. I don't care. Like, I honestly simply don't care. I was telling my wife that last night about our conversation and how I just kept saying, I don't care.
You did say it like 40 times. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad that we're doing something important here.
But I don't mean it in an offensive way. I simply don't care. I told her that. I don't care. I've gotten to the point, I'm 55. My therapist used to call it the fuck it 50s, but now it's like even more so for me. I don't care. I'm literally watching movies about old people and I'm identifying with that. Like something has shifted in me. I'm going to be 56 in 2 months and I simply don't care. I have so limited time left on this earth, hopefully at least 55 more years, but it took me 55 years to get to this point of having everything that I wanted. You know what I mean? So it's like, the only thing that can be better is that I'm able to rescue more elephants, you know, or any elephants or help with the rescue of elephants. And like, yeah, I just don't care. I think that's my new saying. I simply do not care. Something has shifted inside of me. So, you know, I don't care. I feel so... I simply just don't care. Yeah. So to me, if somebody cancels, it's a win.
Okay. And if they don't cancel, it's kind of a win too?
Yeah. Like yesterday, I'm in this networking group. And so I had like 10 minutes in between dropping my son off and then taking my wife to work. And I stopped at this eatery and nobody was there. I was just going to stop for 10 minutes and say hi, meet people in person because I meet with them on Zoom every Wednesday. And then I had the wrong one. There was one way across town. And then, so I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's like the way I go to parties 20 minutes at a time. Like I don't want to sit there for 2 hours anyway. And then I went to a lady's open house, this certified financial planner, and we were supposed to have a Zoom in the afternoon after the open house. And she was so worried about talking to me because she wanted to cancel and change the time. And I was like, yes, thank you. Let's change it. Great. I had to come here and see you once. And I was there for literally 3 minutes. And then you called and I was going to go and stop by somebody else's. And I thought, oh no, we're actually on the phone. And so I took you along my errands with me, you know?
Right.
To me, that's also win-win, double dipping. Feed two birds with one scone. I can pick up the dog's medication, get the Trader Joe's,
Yes, you
and
can.
talk on the phone. So it's like, I don't need. Yeah, something's happened to me. I'm not even, I don't want to go hiking. I don't care. I want to play pickleball. I have to fix my 12,000 cars that I have now, junkers. Like, I don't have the energy. I told you my Seattle plans, right? I'm not making plans.
Yeah,
We
you
have
did tell me that. You did tell me
tickets to
that.
do five attractions, you know, on this one ticket. We got the Seattle pass. And that's like about, and going to the park and hanging at my friend's house. It's about all I can manage. I don't want to hike. I'm not trying to micromanage or I'm not trying to make that. But reciprocity, like my friend's been asking me to come back for 2 years for her Pride Festival because she runs a town in Washington and they've been voted like best pride. And so it's very important to me that we be there on that day for this trip, you know, and that we're all there. So that'll be Sunday. And she had asked me to go to Georgetown's graduation in this weekend, but I was like, I can't do both. I can't make both happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to DC at this time in our history. I don't want
Right.
to be there. It'll just make me sad and creeped out, you know?
Yeah, and it's a
I
million
watch a lot of
dollars to get
Handmaid's
there.
Tale.
I
Well,
know.
I know. So
It's
it's
yeah.
like, what can you do? And I want to show that, you know, I am. Like, I want to be so supportive of her Pride Festival, you know? She's going to
Right.
be so happy that we're there.
Well, that's reciprocity. I mean, because
Yeah.
I think for what you're talking about is being able to gauge, like, and you do this with me and you do this with my partner, is knowing either who in your life you have to show up for or what specifically is most important for you to show up for. And not and making sure that you do those things. Because if you say, I don't care to every single thing, I don't care about your pride event, I mean, you know, then
Right.
your friend is going to be hurt. But, you
Right.
know, you do care about some things. And you do care
Right.
about your word and you do care about your commitments. It's just, you know, you're just understanding who those commitments are to. Like some people like that are less, you know, like me or you cancel plans or something or it's like, oh, well, whatever. But, you
Right.
know, you do that with me over and over again. And, you know, I'm not going to want to hang out with you anymore.
Right. Yeah, and I know that. Right. So that's important. And when I say simply do not care, it's not that like I'm the one canceling or that I'm the one who's like when we talked about, okay, what do we want to do going forward in life and with the podcast and all that? And I say simply do not care. I just mean that like I will honor the commitments I've made, but I just can't add more commitments at this point in my life. And I don't know what it is. I think it's my age. I mean, I literally feel like I'm gonna, like, someone's puffed me up with one of those things that you put air into the fireplace. You know that, what is
Yes.
that thing called?
Yeah.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I feel like my eyes are gonna explode on my, like, I have no medical problems whatsoever. I've had all my everything tested, but I feel like I'm gonna explode. And I think that's being my age. Right. And the state of the world. I mean, I've become like a person who just wants to be watering their plants. I don't know. It's like I've gone over the edge. Like I just can't care. It's not like I don't care about you or care about my friends or whatever, but yes, I can see what are the most important things. And so for, you know, the friend we're going to visit in Seattle, it's the Pride Parade, you know?
Yeah.
Or Pride Festival. And so I have to pick and choose. And it's like, I know what I'd be like if I was in DC right now. I'd be scared and freaked out. And you know, it's just, I
Right.
would not enjoy it. It's not a time for me with my political beliefs and all that to be in that town, you know, even though it'd be celebrating her kid graduating from Georgetown, which, you know, I was very helpful in their path to getting there. And I know that, but they can just tell me that and I can say, you know what I mean? Like I can honor that in a different way. Like I better send a text right now about it. You know?
But you're showing up to something that's important to her, what you have the capacity to show up to. I think that that matters. I mean, I think showing up is one of the most important things that you can do. And sometimes it's really easy because showing up doesn't have to mean that, like in your case, flying all the way to Seattle, this warrants that. But like showing up could just simply be like reaching out on text. I mean, I've got some friends who I like reach out to on text and check in with them, and then we'll engage in a conversation, and they might even ask me how I'm doing, but they would never initiate a text to me and say, "How are you doing? How are things?" And so that gets old after a while, you know?
Yeah, you that is more difficult for you. You know what I mean? Like, you know that I have my friend in Palm Springs. It's a 5.5 hour drive, and I used to make that drive, and then I'd stay for like 3 hours because that was about the most amount of time we could stand each other, unless I was like sleeping in the car or doing my own thing, right? But like hanging out together, it's like 3.5 hours. So I just don't have the time now to do that, to drive all the way there to do that. And she doesn't have the ability with her dogs and her job and what that. She keeps saying she'll come here, right? But it's not happening. But I don't care. I simply do not care. Like, okay, if you can make it great, if you can't, you can't. If the most that we're ever going to be able to do is talk on the phone, then that's it. You know, I'm fine with that. Like, and that's how I feel now about going to Seattle. I know that, you know, maybe people will be disappointed or annoyed with me or whatever that I didn't reach out, but I just can't. I can't. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, you know? I know for me that if I have, and not in your case, but like if I have people who don't ever reach out to me, it's like I get exhausted of being the one to reach out, to be the one to call or the one to text, or, you know, it's like if I didn't, would we just never talk again? Like, am I
But
dragging
see,
this on life support?
well, yeah, and I've talked to you about that before, and I think that like you have to understand that you're high speed, like so much higher speed and capable than other people, and you have the capacity for that, you know? Like
But I mean, it's
when
like a text. It's like a, I mean,
it's
this is what
hard,
I
okay,
say
here,
about
okay, here.
texting. Everybody goes to the bathroom. Everybody brings their
No, I
phone in the
know, but
bathroom. Just
like,
literally send me a text. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Four
okay, but
words.
listen here.
They're not too
I was
busy.
talking to my wife this morning, okay, about driving because I have been driving a half an hour each way to take, you know, my stepson to school. It was a school we went on a tour of and decided it would be a great fit. Turns out it kind of fell apart a month after he got there. So he's going to be going to school much closer to us in the fall. That is going to change my life. But I said, because she was like, she used to do that hours and hours a day. She'd have to go all the way one way and then come back and then go to work. So it was like, and I said, how did you do that? And she's like, I didn't have a life. I did not have a life, you know? And some people are not capable. Like now that I'm borrowing a car and all that, I can't text while I'm in the car. I can't even like figure out where the air conditioning is, you know? And so it's like, people could look at me and think, oh, I'm doing well. I'm not even working right now. Like my life should be so easy. And yet I cannot even get through my day. I'm like, yesterday, I was like, what? Like, why can I not get anything done? Because I was doing three cars yesterday. Three cars. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this saying to me? To me, it says get rid of, you know, I mean, take the one is just borrowed from her parents, but get rid of, sell the other one. We thought we were going to need it. I don't need it. Simplify. I have to simplify. I think it's the age. It's my age. It's the ADHD brain. And it's like, what are the expectations of life? You know? But your expectations are yours. And like, your high speed. So I don't think you take it personally, you know? I don't think you take it personally that like the people don't like you. It's just that it's like, what is it worth to you to keep this friendship going, right? And so in their mind, and I've told you this before, like you can't understand the ADHD mind because you're not like that. But how about the overwhelmed mind or the exhausted mind or the, you know what I mean? Like I think people also get to a point where all their collective stuff that happened to them is just, it's like piled up and there it is, you know? Like I got through a lot of my stuff and I feel very fortunate and, you know, grateful to be where I am. But if I look back at my life, I'm lucky to have like survived a lot of it, you know? And so my old police partner used to say, if most people were in your situation, they would have killed themselves by now.
Oh,
And
God.
like, right, he didn't mean it in a mean way. He's complimenting me. But like, I've been through a lot and maybe I'm just done. And it's not that I don't want to have friends, but it's like, maybe I just can't anymore. And I think a lot of people are in that boat. And who was I? Where was I? Oh, I was on my Zoom and we were talking about business stuff or networking or whatever. And it was like the amount of information that's coming at people, they can't function. You know, it is really hard. And you know, being a lover of social media like I am, or well, Facebook only, that's my favorite medium. But like, how do people keep in touch? How do people do that? How do they make the time and the space? And yeah, everyone's at a different place. So I think there's a couple people in your life, and like, you know, I know exactly who. It's not about you. They just, their life is overwhelming, you know?
Right. Well, and that's like what you're saying is true. I mean, I don't take it personally, like they don't like me. But at the same time, it's like, how much do I want to invest carrying the friendship? Like, if they don't have
Right.
time for the friendship or they've got other priorities or they're overwhelmed or whatever, then my friendship is not a priority for them. And so why am I making it a priority for me?
Can
Right.
it be put right? Can you put those people up on a shelf?
I mean, that's typically what I
And
do. I
then you
mean,
just look at them, you
yeah.
know, once it's every 6 months.
Well, and that's the thing is like with some of them, I just like message or put on my Evite list or something. If I'm having like a dinner, I'll just be like, oh, I'll send it to this person. But I'm not reaching out to some people anymore and being like, how are you? Or we should get together or, you know, nope.
Yeah, because that's exhausting to you. And so, like,
Yeah.
you have to be the one who knows, I don't want to do that. And you don't have to. And then they could come a calling and say, what happened? And then you could say, you need to be really honest and say,
Yeah.
I tried. I have a friend who I have tried to get together with so many times. I don't bother anymore. But if she came to try to get, if she was like, let's do this, I'd be totally on board. But
Yeah.
I'm not message. I'm not sending a message. I'm not. I've said
Yeah.
it enough times, right? So,
Right.
okay. And it's nothing about me. It's, I know it's her and her life. And so, you know, it used to be in the olden days, you hung out with people like who were in your area, your neighborhood, your, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like where
Right.
I grew up in the Midwest, we lived in neighborhoods, and that's who you hung out with. The kids in the neighborhood, the parents in the neighborhood hung out with the parents in the neighborhood. And I remember we used to drive to my grandparents' house and it was like, oh my God, this drive is so long. It was like an hour or
Right. Right,
something.
right.
And now everybody is so fractured. I mean, you know, Arizona's different because kids go to school, they can like go to school anywhere. And then you have divorced, you know, families. So, you know, my wife's kid's other mother lives way across town, 40 minutes, you know? And so it's just not easy anymore, you know?
No, it's not. And that's the thing is two things can be true at the same time. It can be true that people are overwhelmed. It can be true that they're inundated with information. It could be true that social media is distracting them. It could be true that they're commuting everywhere to do basic life stuff. It could be true that they don't have any, you know, beef with you at all. But it can also be true that you don't have to invest in friendship if that if that's the case. Like,
Right. Well,
you know?
exactly. But that's like each person has to decide. And you're a very social person, you know? Like, I mean, there are times where I used to play pickleball 4 to 5 hours a night, 6 days a week. There's no way I could do that now, you know? And I do say, what happened? But then I look at, I was talking about this yesterday and thinking about this yesterday. Look, if I'm going to actually make money at a business, well, then I guess I better put some effort into it.
That's typically how it works.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, people can only do what they can do, and I think we shouldn't take it personally, but we shouldn't put our effort if it's causing us distress and it's just too much for us to like reach out and try and make plans and all that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, after so many rejections or cancels, it's like, I
Well, and
just.
you were coming up here the last couple weeks to hike with me, which was great. Now I can walk. I'm not going to hike, you know?
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, can we do that? I mean, there's hot hills with pavement here. I just can't do the rocks anymore, you
Yeah.
know? So it's like, are there other ways? And I also think that, I mean, I think people would be better off emotionally if we went back to like the neighborhood model of life.
Well, I mean, it's so interesting because people hardly even know their neighbors. I mean, sometimes people do,
Right.
but I don't know my neighbors. I mean, I know my next door neighbor because we shared the cost of building a wall between our two properties.
But you're not friends.
We're not friends. I mean, they're like in their
Yeah.
80s, and you know, I mean, no, I don't know my immediate neighbors. And it's interesting because there's a lesbian couple that lives two doors down, and I've said hi one time when one of them was sitting in the front porch, and I waved, and that was it. And I'm like, we could be friends. They're like my age. I mean, like,
Yeah.
but
Why haven't you?
I don't know. It just was like, oh, I've got my friends. They're not here in this neighborhood. I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't
But
that interesting?
yeah. But the
You
thing
must have
is,
gotten a vibe.
well, I mean, they also haven't, you know, reached
Made
out
any
to
effort.
me.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Yeah.
not that I'm saying like, well, I'm going to hold out in like a standoff, but it's just, you know, sometimes I like it when other people take initiative, you know, like it's very rare when someone asks me to do something.
Well, you know they're lesbians, but do they know you are? You don't necessarily present as
No, I
one,
don't
you
really present
know what I
as one.
mean?
And they've got a big like rainbow flag or something out front. There was some
Well,
reason
there
why
you
I
go.
remembered that they were lesbians. But I think I've walked past, well, unless they were looking out the window, I've walked past their house, like with my partner holding hands and stuff. So, but they might not have
Well, but
seen
they'd
it.
have to be looking out the window. So you need
Yeah.
to march up and down the street with a rainbow flag on your back until they talk to
So that
you.
they actually will say, hey, do you want to like
But
grab
that's
coffee?
another thing. It's scary for people who are marginalized to do that,
Right. It
right?
is. It is.
And it's like, it takes more effort. I'm following a friend on Facebook who is black, and she moved from Phoenix to Massachusetts and then down to Florida, and she's encountered a lot of racism along the way. She writes about it, and it's, we don't see that, like, unless someone's pointing it out to us, right? And then people will say, oh, that's ridiculous. Gay people wouldn't just say hello, but it's true.
Right.
It's true. When you're a marginalized person, you don't just reach out to every rando on the street. And so, you know, that may be why you know that, but they don't know that about you. And so, you know, making again, like, how do you make friends as an adult and all that? And you, I mean, you have hold meetups and stuff like that, and that's how you meet a lot of people. And so it's funny. I had a lesbian neighbor in Seattle once, and I never had met, this was the first time I ever talked to her. She was out in her yard, and I was walking with my sister. And it became one of those, like, in a movie kind of things where, like, she kind of looked at us like we were lesbians. And I was like, oh my God, we're not together. But I said it that way. Oh, we're not together. And then I was like, I am gay. This is my sister. And like, you know, I realized like when I said that, like the look on her face, and I was like, because I was so disgusted that someone thought my
Right.
sister and I were in a relationship, right? So like the way I reacted, she could have just gone inside and never talked to me again.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, it's probably good you explained yourself so she didn't think you were like some kind of like horrible homophobe.
Right. But we never, like, it is interesting. She was starting to us, we never became friends. And she had a partner, but like, yeah, we never became friends. And they were like a couple doors down. And maybe I didn't. My sister might have even said, like, after that, you made that so awkward. Or you, like, really, like, made
Right.
that so much worse. So I think, you know, yeah, anyway, back to reciprocity.
Well, but I mean, that's an interesting point, though, right? It's just like, how do you even, you know, Do you introduce yourself? Do you wait for someone to introduce yourself? That's part of reciprocity. I mean,
right.
But okay, flip it around though. So we've been talking about, you know, a lot about my clown, but then also about the, you know, just kind of feeling like people aren't reaching back. Like I reach, and then I don't get a lot of reaching back, or I don't get a lot of people initiating with me. But flip it around. What about those friends that are just like, they reach out almost too much, or they're overly needy, or they want to spend a lot of time with you. Have you had these people where you're like, they kind of come on too strong and you're like, okay, the reciprocity feels unbalanced the other direction.
You mean like a baby reindeer?
Kind of like a baby reindeer.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
We've had one of those, you and I together, but too much. I don't have time for this. Too much. Too much. And I've only had a couple of those where it's like, okay, it's too much. It's too much. Or like, I don't remember the one why there was an imbalance, but like, oh, getting mad at me as if I was their partner. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, to me, like, ugh, keep that for your partner. Like, I'm not your life partner. I'm not your, you know what I mean? Like,
right. I'm not your plus one. Those expectations aren't the same. I've had that happen one time as well. I'm like, wait a minute. Not that you should treat your partner horribly and your friends well, but this expectation that you're like always available, that you're there, that you'll drop everything, that you'll, you know, that you're going to be their plus one at everything, that you'll listen to them, that they can take out some emotional baggage on you and that you'll still be there. And I've had that as well. And it kind of gave me the ick.
Yeah. Well, it should. And it's too much. I mean, I do think there are things reserved for partner relationships and there are things reserved for friend relationships or that has to be very clear. I mean, you and I have done a lot together over the last 5 years, you know, and now you see that like you were responsible for, I could say you forced me to, but you were responsible for getting me to go out to a lot of places I otherwise wouldn't. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're not making me or that I'm not responding to that and a couple of those things disappeared, you see I'm different. I don't do that, but it was fine. It was fun at the time, you know. There's a reason, a season, and whatever. So for me, like, and even having a party, I've only had a couple parties in my life and you were at them and they were good parties, but now I don't want to have it in my house. But I did give cookies to all my neighbors the other day and I interacted with them when I did it. And I had, you know, one come over, the other one, I went to her son and his girlfriend were there and they were going to go camping. So I brought them a bunch and my neighbor across the street and their mom was there. And so it's like, I'm socializing and talking all the time, but again, it's like flitting in and out. That just works better for me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and the thought of having a party right now, okay, could I do it? Yeah. Should I do it? No.
Right. Well,
I don't know.
Different circumstances you now, but okay, let's go back to the idea of like the baby reindeer kind of stuff. Like, and if, you know, we're referring to that show, you know, the woman sort of stalks the guy.
Yeah.
And
sort of, she does.
She does. But, okay. So we talk about that, you know, we've had one that was extreme. Mm-hmm. You and I had a friend that was like that. And then, but we've both also had friends that aren't like stalkers and baby reindeers, but they're like, you know, overly needy and just like assume that you're in this role and all of this stuff.
Which I don't mind the overly needy if they don't then get mad at you, but that seems to go hand in hand.
Like if you're
not doing enough for them, then they get mad. And that's where I'm saying, like, get apart. That's not my job. Like, okay, I can be there. I can handle your neediness. But then when you're like mad at me or I'm disappointing you, then goodbye. Goodbye.
Right.
Goodbye. I do not have time for that.
So, well, how have you gotten yourself out of those situations? Because I've known you've been in them and I know exactly who you're talking about with some of these people.
Yeah. I do not have time for this. Goodbye.
You've told them that straight up.
If you're going to be like this to me, I've had these conversations. If you're going to be like this to me, then bye.
Right.
I'm not your partner.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not your partner and I'm not going to be your partner. And I don't want to have any kind of like burden on me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I am very generous with my time and my you know,
your support. Oh,
right. Yeah. All that. That's fine. But if you're going to be mad at me, goodbye.
Mm-mm. Right.
That's where I draw the line. Nope.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that for you. I'm not to be treated like that, you know?
And you sound like you're very clear with them about that, whether you tell them or text them or whatever. And it's just like, I'm done. Like, no. And it's interesting because the people that I've had have been to the extreme. I haven't had a lot of people that are just sort of kind of needy and then putting expectations. I've had a couple people that are just over the top, and both of them, I just cut it. I told them absolutely, I'm done. I cannot do this. And it wasn't even like, hey, can you approach our friendship differently and maybe we can work through this. I was so icked out by both of them. I just was like, I'm done. I walked. I'd be like, I just don't even talk to me, please. It was just
and
so
you have
much.
To be clear.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And I had, for both people, that there was a second kind of round where they kind of circled back in and there was a chance for me to sort of, I don't know, not reconcile, but, you know, see if we could move forward. And both of them, the first one of them was like, absolutely not. I just replied to the message, was like, no, thank you. And the other one was a very short lived, well, we can see, but then it was, nope, absolutely not. This isn't going to work for me. And it triggered a lot in me. I was like, I don't care if you've changed or whatever. I'm still triggered by the fact that you're like, kind of being creepy and leaning so much on me and making me feel like I'm supposed to do all these things. And I'm like, and I'm a great friend and I do a lot of things, but some of this stuff was just like over the top. But you're right. It's like a description of almost like what somebody would want in a partner who is there for somebody during a difficult time. And again, I'm a great friend, but.
Well, you're not even talking difficult times. So you're talking like unrealistic, bizarre expectations.
Yes.
Okay, one scenario where someone puts bizarre expectations on you, and I would have been like, get away from me right now. Like, I'm not even finishing this, whatever we're doing, because that is ridiculous. But, like, I'm saying, like, people who are maybe in a state, emotional state, all the time, like, this is their kind of life, who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they get mad at you, or they're upset with you, because you're not acting like what maybe a partner would do. Like, a partner, you shouldn't bring your partner down or be a bummer, but a partner is there to be there with you through life's ups and downs in a way that a friend maybe isn't. But, you know, it's interesting. There were these two people I knew. I met them. I forget where, maybe pickleball. And I was like, what are you guys, a couple? Because the way they acted on Facebook, but then they would act like I was so confusing. I'm like, what is going on? Are you guys a couple? And they're like, no. Haven't you ever heard of like your friend being your primary person? And I was like, no, I haven't. I don't know why you're acting like this. You seem like you're a couple. And the one even sent me like an article about it. Like, understand that some people's people is their friend, right? And then 4 months later, they got matching tattoos for their friendship. This really seemed like a love affair, if you ask me. And 4 months later, they weren't speaking to each other. They're not friends anymore. They don't.
Wow. It's like a breakup.
Like, wow. Yes.
But do you know what happened? Or do you just know that they're not speaking to each other?
I don't do drama. If they were just, if one of them, if I was to see one and they like told me about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But those are the kind of people I do not step in between. I do not send a message and ask. No way is that coming back on me.
Right.
You know? And like, weird, because I mean they were together all the time at pickleball, and they were like, it was like, if you people aren't dating, I don't know what you would call that. Like, and that's, you know, when the one sent me the thing about friends being their primary, but that was just like a breakup also, or a divorce. I mean, it blew up. Mm-hmm. Because they don't, I did look at the one's Facebook page, and there is not a single mention of the other one. So I don't talk to either one, because I'm just like, that seems, I would never do that with a friend.
Yeah.
You know, and I did have that friend, remember, who I really, the first day that I met her, she complained about her husband a lot. And then I was like, well, why are you with this person you're talking to a stranger so poorly about? And then months and months later, she blew up at dinner at her house, where I literally had to back out the door. She was yelling so much about some Supreme Court people, and my beloved Hillary Clinton, calling her a loser and like just lost her mind. And like, I was like, what? I can't do either. I can't do instability like that either.
Right. Like you don't know who you're going to get, right? You're going to get this
Yeah.
nice, sweet, supportive, great friend, or you're going to get this kind of on edge, something's going on.
Well, and I mean, I'm very heated, as you know. I will have a heated argument about policy and stuff like that. But this was like way over the top. Like, if I started screaming at you, like, and telling you that the people that you admired were losers, and I mean, absurd, right?
Right. And not productive. Like why, what is the point of that, right? There's no point in that.
No, it was frightening almost.
And you
I mean,
walked
not
away,
frightening. I
right?
mean, yeah. I
You
mean, I
never talked to
carry a
this
gun
person?
all the time. Yeah, I'm not like scared. I don't mean frightening, like, oh, I'm scared,
Yeah,
but
but just,
like,
yeah.
whoa, I don't want that.
No. So you
I do
left the
not want that.
situation. Did you ever talk again?
We laughed, and then I saw her on the street, and then
Not like living on the street, like she was walking with
no,
you.
walking. She lives in my
Right.
neighborhood, and then she was like, she never apologized, and I brought that up. I said, you never even apologized for what happened. And then she proceeded to, at most, say hello to me and acted like I probably acted the same, like didn't even know her.
Wow.
You know?
Wow, these friend breakups are really big. We're going to talk about this later on in the
Yeah.
season when we talk about like toxic friendships and things like that and friend breakups because those can be really intense. I
Oh, and
mean,
I can look at a person like I've never seen them before. I can do that. I had many years of doing that as a police officer, of managing my emotions, of not reacting, and that's what I do. I do not want to be pulled. I don't want to be pulled into people's drama. I really don't.
no.
I will watch it on TV. I love reality shows, but I don't want it in my life. I don't want people making drama in my life. You know? And I can be volatile in a relationship emotionally, you know? I can yell and I mean, you're not a yeller. I totally yell, you know? I can freak out and then, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, and I'm sorry. I am sorry, but I get triggered, right? But like that to me, that can be okay in an intimate relationship as long as you repair and you discuss it and whatever, but not in a friendship.
Well, yeah, if you're constantly repairing in a friendship, but I mean, if you're constantly repairing in a relationship too, that's something to be mindful of.
Not
But
constantly, but I'm saying like you probably wouldn't recover if I yelled at you.
no, I probably wouldn't. So don't yell at me. I know
Mm-mm.
you yell when you get all like ramped up about
Yeah. But I
some,
mean, like
you know.
if I'm triggered in a romantic relationship, I mean, like in my marriage now, we have both of us, like we freak out in different ways, right? But I don't want that in a friendship. And I understand in a marriage, in an emotional relationship, because there's so much more at stake. But that's why, to me, friendship shouldn't have that.
No, I mean, there should be no point at which you're ever yelling with a friend. And I don't even know that I've ever yelled. I have a booming voice and I get pretty assertive sometimes, but I, you
No,
know.
when I'm talking like where you've lost your temper.
No, I
And
don't lose my
you've had
temper.
that with your relatives and whatnot, and you talk to them and say, like, but you can understand that people are under stress. So sometimes that does happen. And if you can repair, then that's okay. But
Yes.
there are situations where some people take friendship too far, in my opinion, or they expect too much out of it. And I'm not interested in that. I never have been, never will be. And I don't want your drama. And I don't get involved in other couples' drama, you know? There was a lot of that when I lived in Seattle, and I've heard quite a bit of that out of Palm Springs. And I just don't do it, don't want it in my
Right.
life. I simply do not. Like, I don't. Keep it on
No.
my TV.
Yeah, I don't even want it on my TV. I don't like drama
Come
at
on,
all.
you watch Love Is Blind.
Well, I do, but that's,
Come
yeah,
on,
something for a different show.
it's so funny because the 13-year-old was like, well, that doesn't seem like a healthy relationship. And I said, well, it wouldn't be
Yeah,
very much of a good show, would it? If it was everybody on there was like, oh, we're perfect. We love each other. I'm like, there has to be some drama.
I
I'm like,
know.
you gotta have something for the TV. I said, well, we wouldn't watch it. Like, no one's gonna watch my life. They'd be bored to tears. I am so boring. Like, yes, I'm funny. Yes, I'm charismatic. Yes, I'm a lawyer, this and that. But, you know, like, when I'm, that's the other thing. Like, when I'm talking to work people, I mean, when I'm dealing with clients, their lives are crazy, right? Mm-hmm. All it does is make me say, thank God mine isn't. And I have had those crazy situations in my life. And I understand how it looks from the outside, that people are like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But mm-hmm. that's the thing. Like, I have seen this with friends where, like, those people seem more like they were in a relationship. And it's like, I don't want that. Do people really want that? I mean, maybe some people do.
I mean, I tried it. I tried it, and it was not for me. I did not like
it.
And, you know, not just it wasn't intentional. It's just that we grew to be in that kind of space where.
Yeah, and it was never going to be a relationship, but it was the weirdest friendship that I told you to get out of multiple times.
I know, and I finally got out of it, but.
Well, yes. You have to, because the pain of staying in it was more than the pain of getting out.
It was. Yes, exactly. And I will not do that again. And I hadn't, I've had only that happen a couple other times where I got really close to a friend, but not in a romantic way, but just in a way that was probably overstepping just some expectations.
All right.
And so I don't have any intention of wanting to ever do that again. So
yeah, because it's unhealthy, right?
It is, and it's not fair, because even if you both have expectations of each other that you both agree to, it's still a lot, because the changing dynamics of things, right? You, like, when you're in, unless you're polyamorous, when you're in a romantic relationship, you have one person that you have committed a set of expectations to, and they've committed them back to you.
Right.
But in friendship, you can have multiple people. And so you might have expectations of one friend that are different than expectations of another, and vice versa. And you have all these people. So you have multitudes of people sort of in this friendship slot. And so having one primary friend that sort of trumps everybody really does kind of create some havoc in there.
Right. It's not healthy, I don't think. I mean, you can have your besties, you can have your best friend. But I'll tell you, my best friend, I've been friends with her since the year 1999, or maybe even 1998. So a long time, right?
Yeah.
And she's straight. That's who we're going to stay with in Seattle. I helped her and her daughter through some very hard times in their life. But I don't know any of her other friends. I don't hang out with her other friends. I mean, we've been friends. We are best friends. And we've been that way for, 26, 27 years now. And I don't know. I never cared to. Again, it sounds terrible. But, like, I went one time. It was maybe to her baby shower or something. And I was like, this is not my group of people. For whatever reason, this one person in that group. So she has a group of friends, of straight lady friends, and I would never hang out with them. And it's funny, because I hung out with her and another super straight, like super dolled up woman in Seattle in the 90s. We used to go out all the time. And I always thought, gosh, people must be looking at us like, why are those two chicks with that girl? You know, like, what is happening there? But we were really good friends. And one of those friends did fall off when she became very suburban and a lot more conservative and more focused on her kids. And I've talked to that one maybe just twice since. But we were like three little, like, you know, the three musketeers, always going out in Seattle, mm-hmm. going to the martini bars, going to the big Italian restaurant. And then, you know, things changed. That one moved to the suburbs first. But I've stayed friends with the other one, but yet I'm not friends with her friends. And like, that's never been an issue.
Well, you don't, proximity wise, you haven't lived near her in a very long time too. So if you live near her, you probably would know her friends.
No.
You don't think so? You don't think she'd say, you know,
no,
I'm having a few people over, come stop by? No, you would just not.
No, like, when I come stay there, like, I'll meet her men. She's always got a new man in her life. Hopefully this one sticks. He's apparently nice, but I won't know until I meet him. But she has to get my approval and her daughter's approval. But she does what she wants anyway. But I'll meet them. But no, I don't. I never hang out. I know I could tell you all the names of her friends, but it's like, I know that we just wouldn't have anything in common other than her.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like a waste of my time.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've never wanted to be part of that group, and I'd never feel excluded, you know? Oh, she does go on trips with them, and I'm like, okay, you can go on a trip with them, but you can't come here. I do do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Oh my goodness.
Also, honestly, if someone was to come and try and stay with me, well, one, the last time she and her daughter came, they went to a hotel down the street because I was like, oh my God, there's this beautiful hotel, this beautiful pool and a view. You should stay there. And that's honestly, I don't really want, I'm not into having people stay with me either. It's yes. exhausting.
You and I are just like hatched from such different eggs. It's amazing that we even hang out. It's just we have, I don't think we, other than our red jackets today, I think we have nothing in common. I'm pretty sure we have nothing in common. I don't know why this works.
We do, but see, that's the thing. That's the beauty of it. I mean, we're respectful to each other and we're respectful of each other's time generally. And so we do have a lot of interesting conversations. That's why it works.
Yeah.
But we are hatched from two different eggs. We're total polar opposites.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
So it is. Yes.
Yeah. No truer words have been spoken.
Oh, goodness. Well, maybe that's where we end right now, because pretty much if you've listened to any episode with us, you know that we are quite different from each other. So, but what an interesting convo today. And certainly, you know, even though we talk about this kind of stuff all the time, always just a little bit more eye-opening after we talk about it on the podcast. So anyways, to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.